Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Paul Von Hartman at the California Cannabis Ministry. It is Sunday, March 20th, 2016, and I'm joining you this evening for a personal tribute to my friend Joop Oman, who passed away this Friday. Unexpectedly, at the age of 54, and I am hosting this evening's memorial for Joop, because he was a special man. He was a very, very exceptional human being, and his unexpected passing is really just very difficult to accept. There are a lot of things about Joop that made him a real pleasure to know, and a privilege to work with, and just his effectiveness in the drug policy reform effort is monumental. He just there's so many good things you can say about the man. Maybe I should introduce him a little bit for people who don't know Joop personally. He was the founding member and director of ENCOD, which is the European Drug Policy Reform Coalition. The European Coalition for Just and Effective Drug Policies. He also founded Track Your Plant, and which was the first cannabis social club in Belgium. And he was also involved with the Union for the Abolition of Cannabis Prohibition in The Hague, and organized the first cannabis tribunal in The Hague, and was a co-founder of Union for the Abolition of Cannabis Prohibition, the VOC. And my time and space spent with Joop began in 2003 at the European Parliament, where the Coalition for Just and Effective Drug Policies, ENCOD, was hosting a meeting at the European Parliament to prelude the United Nations Drug Policy Summit that year in Vienna. And I was very, very graciously welcomed to Brussels by Joop and friends at ENCOD, and I was in a mix of people who came from different countries, had wonderfully diverse personalities and styles, and Joop was, he was just the unifying influence, and sort of the calm waters in the tumult. He was tremendously diplomatic personality, and very, very warm-hearted, sincere person. And I really appreciate his kindness, really, in welcoming me into the European conversation as an American in 2003. There was a very legitimate animosity toward Americans in general, just because of what our government was doing invading Iraq in 2003, and all the horrible things that my government has done for decades. It's a notable exception when you are so kindly treated, and Yop was that kind of person. He was just a kind man, and I really appreciated at that meeting in Brussels share the time that he had been allotted to speak, and he gave me half of his speaking time at the meeting, and really just personified international diplomacy, I think, like nobody else I've ever met. My heart goes out to his family. I can't imagine the depth of sorrow you must feel, and I share that feeling with you in remembering your lovely father and husband and friend. I mean, the family of friends that Yop grew over his lifetime is a testament to the man himself. And I just wanted to invite people to call in and share their feelings about Yop. If you care to, the number here in the United States, in California, is 516-595-8094 for a guest caller if you'd like to call in. That's 516-595-8094. And the broadcast tonight is going to be a half-hour broadcast, just enough to leave in the sands of time regarding a person who deserves every accolade and every bit of appreciation for working so long and so hard to do such a difficult task, to achieve such a challenging, noble objective as ending prohibition of the plants of the world, recognizing that plants were our sacred legacy that have been handed down for millennia, and that no organization has rightful jurisdiction over the God-given plants of the earth. And there was a real comfort in being able to express myself in an atmosphere of generosity and acceptance that Yop personified at NCOD. He really seemed so evenly balanced in his ability to communicate and to address criticisms or field suggestions. He was the ultimate diplomat. He will be so missed, and is missed even now, I'm sure. In NCOD, I'm not directly involved. I'm kind of an honorary member. I have never been able to afford the dues for membership, but Yop was generous in allowing me to participate in the conversation, in the Eurodrug conversation anyway, and made me feel like my contributions were valued and appreciated. Most recently, I wrote a statement for the upcoming UNGAS conference in New York in April. And Yop wrote a lovely note back saying that my thoughts would be included in NCOD's presentations to the United Nations, and I really appreciated that as well. The effort to make this world a better place for our children is often somewhat frustrating, thankless. It certainly doesn't pay very much, but the common thread that seems to run through the character of the people that I have met in the drug policy reform movement is that people love their children and care for others outside of themselves and care for the world and the children of the world in particular who have a right to have a shot at a livable planet. And I know Yop left behind two sons that he was very, very devoted to. And my heart goes out to Yop's boys, and though we've never met, I tell you that I had a tremendous amount of respect for your father, and he was a great man, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who knew him a lot better than I did who can share everything about him that will help you to continue through your lives. But at this time, I just, as a father, I feel especially tender toward Yop's sons and his wife for their loss. It's a beautiful thing that Yop had you in his life, and yeah, I just I send you a lot of love and sympathy. So the main involvement that I had with what Yop was working toward was the end of cannabis prohibition. And I know Yop was also involved in solidarity with the people in South America who are working to end coca prohibition as well, an issue I haven't been directly involved with, though I do support wholeheartedly the effort of Yop and NCOD and Mama Coca and other organizations that are working to free the use of all therapeutic herbs. And certainly coca and cannabis are two of the most well-known and widely cultivated and used, but it is just a fact that the herbs were given to mankind by the Creator, and the laws and statutes and treaties that are in force to protect our freedom of religion extend to the God-given herbs. That's part of a religious practice for some of us and for many of us, and throughout history, throughout human history, herbs have been integral to of shamanism and spiritualism and religion, and still are. And to neglect to make the distinction between drugs and herbs is worse than absurd. It's criminal. The prohibition laws are void for vagueness because they fail to make the distinction between drugs and herbs. And the truth is that drugs don't make seeds. Herbs make seeds. And that is kind of the fundamental argument for finally ending this counterproductive drug war. It's really an herb war. It's not a drug war at all. The names and the definitions are so confused and obtuse that the entire dynamic that surrounds that fundamental lie is completely untenable, and there's no credibility left in a justice system that fails to make the distinction between herbs and drugs. And the hardships that have been imposed, the essential resource scarcity of banning the world's most useful agricultural resource and the world's most useful and therapeutic herbs is criminal. It's apparently originated with before World War II with Nazi sympathizers in the United States who introduced the Marijuana Tax Act of 1937, and Harry Anslinger, who was apparently a Nazi spy, a sympathizer, and he was instrumental in getting the Marijuana Tax Act passed. And even though in the 21st century, with the help of people like Joop Omen and others, the truth about the real value of these plants is becoming known. And as people like you pass, and the effects of his efforts and the influence of his work gain momentum, I think it's important to stop and make note of the people who've gotten us as far as we've come in ending these horrible, horrible public policies, and recognizing that the system is broken. Our system of government, our system of governance in the world, been so corrupted for so long under the conditions of essential resource scarcity that have been imposed, that it is impossible to disentangle drug policy from the rest of our system of governments. The corruption has gone too deep to try to fix the drug war or drug policy reform establishment, because all of those dimensions of the drug war, the people that are making money from the drug war, the economics of punishment, all of those people are vested in the status quo and will do everything to either maintain the status quo or control the evolution of it. And in this election year, 2016, in the United States, the possibility for progressive social evolution has never been greater. We have the opportunity to affect social change on a level that's never existed before. We have the ability to communicate globally, instantaneously, electronically. And just as news of Joop's passing on Friday traveled around the world within hours, the truth he was working for, the truth about ending prohibition, could travel about around the world in just as short a time. And the truth about cannabis being our functional interface with the natural is something that could happen overnight, and it must, because time is a limiting factor. Time is the limiting factor in the equation of survival. And if we don't recognize that, we're going to run out of time. And everyone's children will suffer the consequences of it. That is something that keeps people like me and like Yop and others working to end prohibition. It's beyond criminal that cannabis prohibition should have continued for as long as it has. It's just beyond imagining that so many harms could be allowed to persist for so long. People who are listening to this broadcast and people who support the work of NCOD and the other legitimate drug policy reform organizations around the world will take a moment to just recognize that Yop Oman was a major hero in our world. And while, you know, the word hero is often used to describe people who do things a bit more dramatic or with more sort of, I don't know what you'd call it. I guess you'd call it more attention-grabbing characteristics. The fact is, the real work and the real heroism comes from the people who put in the day-to-day effort and stick with that day-to-day effort for 20 or 30 years like Yop did, and achieved so much because of that, and sacrificed so much because of really the road less traveled, and the people who go down that road and are as effective and persistent in it as Yop Oman was, deserve to be appreciated. And like I said, that's the reason for this broadcast tonight, is just to leave a footprint in the sand, having made a real effort to reach out to the world that Yop was so effective in making a better place of. And I'm going to close this broadcast tonight with just the thought that I trust that people will continue to honor Yop's memory and his contribution, making an effort to keep his effectiveness and his energy going at the upcoming United Nations drug policy meeting in Vienna this April, April 19th to the 21st. NCOD will be at United Nations in New York, and we hope people will come and meet and support us and take an active role in the world's most destructive social policy. Prohibition didn't work for alcohol, and it isn't working for drugs, and it's creating hard drug epidemic where there could be safe and effective herbal therapeutic remedies. And the subversive roots of the drug war are coming to light finally through the efforts of people like Alan Gordon and Roger Christie and others who are very dedicated and in this fight to make the world a better place. And I trust that Yoop will be remembered for his heroic life and his warm and kind spirit. This is Paul von Hartmann signing off on personal tribute to Yoop Allman. Thank you. Bye-bye.